Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Twins fall to the Blue Jays, and they give it up late, 2 in the 8th, 1 in the 9th. They fall 5-4. They've dropped 3 in a row, and they'll try to salvage a final game of the 3-game series. More on the Twins in a moment. Quick update on the weather. You may have noticed scattered showers and thunderstorms moving through the area. Depending on where you at, you could be getting a thunderstorm right now. Or it could be sunny where you are right now. And you look at the radar and they've just kind of popped up all over northern Wisconsin, here in the cities, between St. Cloud and Alexandria, out toward Wilmer. So it could be raining. It might not be. And we'll get you up to date on the weather. Here's what it says for the remainder of the day. A chance of showers and thunderstorms. Depending on where you at, you may not get any rain. You may get a brief downpour. High temp 77. Showers and thunderstorms tonight. And that's mainly before 4 a.m., low around 59. And then on Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms late in the day. And that smoke, it returns. Areas of smoke in the early afternoon, sunny and 73. So they should be able to get the ball game. But it could be windy. Winds out of the west at 10 to 15, and we'll have gusts to 25 miles an hour. Sunday night, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms early in the evening, then a better chance overnight. And then Monday, showers, maybe a thunderstorm, and a high near 66. And once again, depending on where you at, you may see rain, you may not. Tuesday, sunny 78. And Tuesday's a big day. State boys and girls lacrosse get started on Tuesday. I will talk more about that later on in the show. Chance showers on Wednesday, sunny and 81. And then on Thursday, a better chance of showers and thunderstorms in 79. Friday doesn't look so good right now. Showers and thunderstorms likely in 77. Next Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. And partly sunny in 77. So it's not going to be real hot, but it's unsettled. I think that's how we'll put it at this point. Right now, 75 degrees, southeast winds at 13 miles an hour. And it did rain for a bit during the game, not enough to disrupt that. But once again, just kind of popping up on radar all around the area. May rain, may not. So don't count on that. If you have plants in the garden, and I do, and I went out and watered. I wasn't going to count on Mother Nature to come through on the plants in the garden. Lindsey Brown is our producer today. My name is Steve Thompson. Twins fall. They have dropped 3 in a row. Final game against the A's out in California. Let me just start there and get this out of my system, Lindsey.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Major League Baseball and their decision-making is not the best. And there are numerous examples over the decades where they have made the wrong decision. And there's no reason to even go down that long list. And it's true of pro sports. Pro sports are run by humans. Humans make mistakes. But MLB's done some bad things. Allowing the Rays to play in the Yankee spring training facility in Tampa makes sense because Tropicana Field had the roof blown off during a hurricane.
That's right.
And they weren't going to be able to get it fixed, so there really wasn't another option. And you didn't want them to go down to Miami and have some sort of weird deal where you got two teams in Miami and they don't draw anyway in Miami, even though they have a dome that they spent all that money on. So that made sense. But allowing the A's to leave Oakland because the ballpark isn't ready in Vegas and go up to Sacramento, which I understand, I've never been to Sacramento, California, but I understand it in the summer, it's as hot as Vegas in Sacramento. It gets really hot there every summer, and I know they have minor league baseball in Vegas, but...
Great park, too.
Stay in Oakland until they're done or they get it built or whatever. Letting them move the team to Sacramento made no sense whatsoever.
Well, the relationship got so toxic, the household had to be broken up, Steve.
Well, right?
It was harmful for both parties. Well, actually, one over the other. If I'm Oakland, I'm like, get the hell out of here. I've had enough of you.
Terrible owner, though.
Exactly.
Sad for the fans.
Exactly, but as Gordon Gekko has taught us for decades, greed is good, and it's the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they're playing in some random baseball field in Sacramento that I know very little about. Really, the only thing I know about it is that Lady Bird, a great film by Greta Gerwig, was set there. And it wasn't a great town. It wasn't super fun. Everybody kind of wanted to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, it's the state capital of California. Mm-hmm. I know that. I know it's blazing hot in the summer, but... It's not that far from the Bay Area. Just stay in Oakland. Make it work. Okay, you got a terrible
More
owner.
More therapy,
and he wants
you
to
say,
move...
Steve. More couples therapy. Sometimes
yeah.
You just got to let it go.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. When the Raiders moved to Vegas, and this does play into the Raiders
mm-hmm.
a little bit. When the Raiders left, the first thing... Oakland and the county, and I believe it's Oakland Alameda County Coliseum, that it's the city and the county own the stadium, and then the arena on site was Oracle Arena where the Warriors, they left. They went across the bay to San Francisco in some fancy new arena. But the fact of the matter is, first thing they should have done was tear down Mount Davis. That they built for the Raiders and really wrecked the vibe of the ballpark. Because in the old days, before Mount Davis was built, the football seats and the suites and all that junk out in center field, it was a really cool ballpark. The weather generally is very nice in Oakland, cool at night and comfortable in the East Bay, and they had kind of a great view of the scenery out in center field. So... shame on the city and the county for not doing enough to make what they had better. And shame on the owner for doing what he did to the fans. So it just was a goofy, and it is a terrible situation. But ultimately, I blame Rob Manfred, and I blame MLB for not what's doing in the best interest of the game. You tell the owner, okay, you want to move to Vegas at some point, you make peace. Put some money into the community. Be a good citizen until you leave. Let's try and make this work. That's what the commissioner of a sport should do in the best interest of the game. And I know that that's a pipe dream because ultimately is all about what the owners want to do anyway. But, yeah, that situation out there is sad. So, to my original point, Twins dropped the final game out there. In Sacramento, they've dropped two to the Blue Jays, and Lindsay, you've been around sports your entire life, and this is so true that there are great teams, and then there's this other thing. It's not so much who you play; it's when you play them. And the Blue Jays are hot. They've won 9 of 10, and I don't think the Twins have played particularly poorly. You can maybe say Griffin Jacks made some mistakes today, the Twins strategy-wise, and I think Danny did a good job pointing that out post-game, how they let it get away and Griffin Jacks takes a loss. But you can beat 5-4 by a really good team. They had a lead. Bailey Ober coughed it up on Friday to a hot team. So I'm not ready to panic and say losing the final game. They still took 3 of 4 from the A's out in California. Now they've dropped 3 in a row. It is important you kind of stem the tide and get the final game of the series tomorrow. It isn't a must win by any stretch, but I'm not ready to panic. The Jays are hot. You kind of tip your cap and move on to tomorrow.
It's a very balanced and logical approach. And if anybody's still feeling a little bit more emotionally minded, if you're feeling activated within your body, I found a video that has a turtle swimming in it. It's 12 hours long on YouTube, and it's titled "Relaxing Healing Music for Stress, Anxiety, and Depressive States."
Yeah, and
so we just play just deep breaths, right? So you have to,
yeah.
It's only June.
Yeah, and the Twins did get back into it in May. Mm-hmm. Now, I know the Pablo Lopez news is not ideal, and I'm not trying to sugarcoat that. And they had their opportunities to win on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They had their opportunities to win the ball game today. And Griffin Jacks, who generally has been very good, didn't have his best day. But I still think there's a lot of positives around the ball club, mm-hmm. and I still think they can contend in this division. And I'm going to throw something positive out there for Twins fans at the moment. And there is a bit of good news. They didn't lose ground to the Tigers.
Yes!
The Cubs beat the Tigers 6-1. So while you missed an opportunity to gain ground and hold on to a late lead, and the number thrown out during the post-game download, 28-3 when leading after 7. That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good number.
That
we can breathe on that number.
Yeah, that's right. So we can say today was an aberration as we move on to tomorrow and the series finale against the Blue Jays. And the one thing I didn't notice, and one thing I did speculate about this series, is every year when the Blue Jays do come to town,
mm-hmm.
there's always a lot of fans that come down from north of the border.
Well, there's a lot of oh yeahs to give around in this fine town, isn't there? We're Annex Canada, basically.
They come to town,
mm-hmm.
they spend their money, they have a good time, they root on the Blue Jays, good vibe in the ballpark. The one thing I haven't paid a ton of attention to is, is attendance down? Have the Canadians stayed away this series? I would like to learn more about that because typically it is a pretty good gate. Now, they had 23,476 today. That seems a little light for a Twins-Blue Jays series. Considering you get all those Blue Jays fans from Manitoba, Western Ontario, it's a reasonable drive. It is doable in a day. You can get to the cities from Winnipeg in a day. It's a long day.
Oh, my gosh.
And I will say that drive from Winnipeg to Fargo, oh, my.
Breathtaking with nature.
Did you ever, you're not nearly as old as me. But
not yet.
Did you ever see the Flintstones cartoon on TV?
Oh, yes.
Reruns?
Mm-hmm.
See, whenever they're running through the house and you pass the same window and picture and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a drive from Fargo to Winnipeg. It's just kind of...
You see like 3 total trees?
That is a Red River
but,
Valley.
But you can put that cruise control, right, Steve? We're going approximately 75 miles an hour within
But when you hit the border and you enter Manitoba, you better mind your P's and Q's.
Especially with the toll roads. I had to take care of that for somebody yesterday. They had to pay more in tolls than miles driven, Steve.
I will say this. In Canada, it is all about the speed limit.
Oh, I see what you did there. We'd have to check the Molson sales. That's really the only way to tell about the number of Canadians in town, much how we would look up the line in Kugels if the Sconnies are coming over. And so we'll have to get down to like Killian's and stuff and do some journalism.
Yeah, and I wonder if they're, you know, the distributors would have the numbers on it. But typically this has been a fun series. I wonder if the Canadians have stayed away. But the Blue Jays do get the win today. 5-4. Green the winner. Jags loss. Hoffman the save. Some of the bright spots offensively, not a ton. The Blue Jays grabbed a 1-0 lead in the first. They made it 2-0 in the second. Twins tied it up in the fourth. Grabbed the lead 3-2 in the sixth. And then 2 in the eighth, 1 in the ninth for the Blue Jays. The Twins did get that run in the ninth inning. And, you know, how about Cody Clemens? Done a pretty nice job since coming over from the Phillies. But no one with more than one hit in the ball game today for the Twins. Once again, Jays win it 5-4, the final. There is a ton to talk about. We will quickly run down the Major League scoreboard here in a moment and give you the lay of land. Most important game, though, Cubs beat the Tigers today in Detroit. There is a settlement between the NCAA, and we're going to get into that in more detail. There's even more money coming into college sports. And we have an American winning at the French Open. How about that? You know, Serena Williams left the scene and hung up the racket. And the women's game's been pretty good. There have been Americans on the scene. But it's the men's game where, you know, will someone emerge?
Who? Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? We've been waiting since Andy Roddick, Steve.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know, that, and I get it. There are other opportunities. Tennis isn't particularly front and center here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
But Coco wins at the French today, and that's a pretty cool story.
Absolutely. And I know that her and Sabalenka have gone back and forth final to final over the last several majors. And so it's really great to see, like you said, names separating themselves where they're consistent, where you can expect them to go deep in tournaments. Coco makes a lot of finals, so does Sabalenka. But again, that men's side of the final, which will be tomorrow. I don't even know who's playing in it. And that's really sad considering I'm a tennis fan, but there's a little bit of an identity crisis there too, because I think Carlos Alcaraz, it's not even, I was Alcaraz, because I always want to say the new jail we're going to reopen, right? Alcaraz, he's struggled a little bit this year. They were quick to anoint him, and he's an incredible player. I think some of the matches with Djokovic in the final, especially Wimbledon last year, incredible. But he's also only, I think, 22, 23, and it's these long careers of consistent dominance, I don't think that they're the norm, Steve, even though it's something that a lot of us have become accustomed to.
Well, and for me in the men's game, I stepped away when Roger Federer
understandable
reached
with that.
The end of the line. You know, I was a huge Federer fan and, you know, a great champion and seems like a really good human being. You know, by all accounts, you never really know. But his public persona seems like a really good guy. I've always enjoyed, you know, when he's done an interview over the years. I was always a Federer fan.
Did you watch his documentary that followed his last little bit on the tour?
I have not.
Oh, it's excellent.
There are so many things I need to watch, mm-hmm. Lindsay, that, you know, maybe when the spring sports season ends this week, When my duties are done covering high school sports, I'll have more idle time in the evening, especially if it's too hot to be outside or it's stormy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get caught up on that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of 30 for 30s that I'd love to see that I, you know, kind of have. Yeah, I need to watch that. I'd really like to get around to that.
Yeah, I think it's on Prime. You should check it out.
Yeah, because I was a huge Federer fan. Now, what about, did you see it?
Oh, I've watched it. I watched it almost immediately when it came out. Roger Federer was a big deal to me when I was younger playing tennis.
Okay.
Like between him and Serena, and then obviously Nadal was there, and they had those battles for so long. I that 2008 Wimbledon final between Federer and Nadal, I think, is the greatest match that's ever been played. And he was a big loss. But what's interesting about tennis and what Roger, like, Roger was for most of his career heralded as the greatest of all time. But now his records have been broken by two different people. And yeah. And between Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic. And I'm sure if Carlos Alcaraz can get his stuff together, he might challenge for it as well. But what an interesting group of people. I'll even throw Andy Murray in there, too, as kind of being there to battle and being that big four. But there's just a different era of dominance that I think the men's game is departing from. And they're in a little bit of a pickle, I really do think. But Roger Federer, I could watch him do one-handed backhands all day. Like, people don't get how challenging it is just to do a one-handed backhand and get it over, let alone the power in which he was playing with.
Yeah, just terrific. The Djokovic, you're right. And Nadal, the king of clay. And, by the way, have you ever played on clay? Now, we used to visit a cabin in northern Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was a teacher, and one of his teaching buddies had a cabin in northern Minnesota. And we'd go up there for a week or two every summer, and they'd let us come in and eat their food and drink their pop and trash their cabin. But down the way, there was an attorney who had a place. This guy had a clay tennis court.
That's an investment.
He wouldn't let the kids play on it because in that kind of area, the community got together and they built two regular old tennis courts, you know, and I think it's asphalt, and then they put the coating on it and so on and so forth. So we would play some tennis up there in the summer, but we'd go over and he wouldn't even let his kids play on it because he had serious tennis buddies that would come in. And He told us about what goes into it, that, you know, you got to keep it damp, and you got to do this.
It
sounded like a major pain to maintain the clay courts. And I've heard there are a couple of clubs in town that still maintain clay courts.
The only clay courts I've played on were at Golden Valley Country Club when I get 1 week a summer where I got to go to tennis camp there with my cousins. And so I've experienced it. It's really fun. It's a very unique surface to play upon. If you're not super familiar, there's a little bit of a slide when you're playing on.
Yeah,
on
you can see that on TV.
Right, and that it changes the way that the ball basically drops, how it hits, and certainly how you navigate your court management as well. And so I didn't play any major matches by any means, but it's a lot of fun. I really want to play on grass one of these days, but I don't know where I can find that. Then I got to find a real rich friend to do that. You want to talk about maintenance? That's even worse than a greenskeeper, probably.
Well, and that's the thing. It is on my bucket list. I would love to go to the All England Club and see Wimbledon.
Berries and cream, you and me, Steve. Next year, that could be us.
I would love to do it. I'd love to do that. I'd love to check that out. But you're right, by the end of the tournament, I mean, it's pretty beat up. I mean, you can tell where the players play and where they serve from and so on and so forth. And I wonder, are there any grass courts in town? I know there's a couple of clubs that have clay. I do know that. Never have played on it. And at this point in my life, I don't even know. Pickleball might be too much for me.
I hear it's a blast.
Let alone getting out there and playing slop tennis. I
hear it's a blast. You don't have to move very much, Steven. So just kind of depending on where you are in your athletic lifespan, it could be a great alternative. A lot of people say that about tennis, too. I can't stand playing doubles. I have to play singles, and so I got to get my ass in shape so I can start hitting my backhands again, just like Roger.
Yeah, but like I say, we played, and that's my story about clay, and it ties into the fact that Coco Gauff won the French Open today in Paris on the clay, and then Wimbledon is next, U.S. Open at the end of the summer. And I don't want to think about that, because when you get these Grand Slams like the French Open, you kind of think, okay, Wimbledon's next. Then, you know, they close it out with the U.S. Open. And it's like thinking about the fair in June. I don't want to think about that, because the fair in the U.S. Open is the end of summer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to deal with that.
Night tennis.
At this point.
2 a.m. tennis.
You know, I will say this, the suburb I live in, they took out, they still have tennis courts in one of the big parks, but they took out and they put in pickleball courts.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's been the rage for years now, and there's pickleball clubs and people still play it. I still haven't played. It looks fun, but I'm one of those where it's like, do I really want to jump into this? I don't want to call it a fad because that's not fair. People really love it and have fun. But the pickleball courts in the park near the house, they're busy.
Mm-hmm.
They are busy.
Yeah, they have like a whole old like giant Chuck E. Cheese in Minnetonka that's like pickleball world now. It's right next to the furniture store off of Highway 7. That used to be like one of those
pickleball Chuck E. Cheese.
Literally, it has to be like 15 courts. I got to go in there. I'm scared of these people. Like there's certain types I don't mess with. I don't mess with CrossFit people because they're in a cult. Seems like a common thing these days. And pickleball people seem intense. And so I don't know what kind of dynamic is present between the tennis and the pickleball community. I just know that a lot of courts are being taken over, and I don't like that. We can have multiple lines.
There was an indoor golf bubble down by Fleet Farm in Brooklyn Park.
Yep,
Now indoor pickleball.
No, Steve, don't tell me that. They closed that. My high school golf greatness was. The nose to the grindstone, hitting off mats into the white wall. Oh, my God. The experience
that
all golfers in Minnesota know.
And you know what? That pickleball club that used to be the golf dome by Fleet Farm in Brooklyn Park?
Yeah.
That's really busy.
People are into it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm going to give it a go, and then I'll tear my Achilles, and that'll be the end of my summer. 75 now. We'll break. We'll have all the news and weather. So much more coming up. NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final on CCO. Well, you heard Ari's story.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That they are expecting fewer Blue Jay fans in town.
I wonder why.
Yeah. 5-4 the final. Blue Jays 2 in the 8th. They tack on an insurance run in the 9th. Turned out to be big. They hang on to win it 5-4. They'll go for the sweep tomorrow. Twins trying to avoid that sweep and the 3-game losing streak tomorrow. Inside Twins at noon following Corozo on Sunday. Corozo in between 10 and noon. Then inside Twins lineup card at 12:30. And then we'll have the ball game tomorrow at 1:10. Anthony LaPanta filling in on the series for Chris Atterbury. And he's working with Dan Gladden this weekend. So Blue Jays win it 5-4. They are hot. They won 9 of 10. Twins have dropped 3 in a row, but they don't lose any ground. And we'll tell you that the Cubs did the Twins a favor today. Cubs beat the Tigers 6-1. Other finals in 10, the Reds over the Diamondbacks 4-3. It was the Cardinals beating the Dodgers 2-1, and The Pirates beat the Phillies in the Battle of Pennsylvania. That was in Pittsburgh, the final 2-1. Some games in progress. Braves leading the Giants 2-1 in the Bay Area. The Rangers over the Nats 5-0 in D.C. through 8. Top of 8. The Sox leading the Royals. The Sox might win a game. They are 3-1. Our lead at 3-1. Astros over the Guardians in the 7th, 3-1. Marlins Rays in Tampa. Marlins lead at 10-6. Bottom of 5, it is Arizona, or Cincinnati leading Arizona 13-1. All the other action later, including the Red Sox and Yankees. And Lindsay, you're not going to believe it, but the game is on Fox tonight.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Why would they want this game, Steve? There's no significance ever. Nobody cares about this.
It is the one thing in televised sports you can absolutely count on, that the Dallas Cowboys will get more primetime games than they deserve, and that the Red Sox and Yankees will be on all the time.
Yep, 3:25 start for those Dallas Cowboys every time. But yeah, and at least, like, I think that rivalry is better when both of the teams are really good, and it's been a little bit more wishy-washy in the last few years. But the Yankees have cooled off after that one. All I heard was they hit 18,000 home runs in that first game. Have they cooled off entirely? Like, who's ahead? I need to look at the standings at the AL East, because Toronto's killing it.
Yanks lead the Jays by 5.
Okay.
The Rays 5.5 back. Red Sox 5 games under, 10.5 out. And the Orioles, maybe one of the biggest disappointments in the big leagues, they are 14 back, 25 and 37. We got into that a little bit with Bobby Nightingale before the game today on the Writer's Corner. And Bobby made a good point. In this modern era, with the expanded playoffs and everybody in the mix in the wild card until the final, 2 weeks of the season before teams start to get eliminated, certainly in the mix going into September, that only teams like the Orioles or the White Sox would be considered sellers. You know, because you get to the end of July, there's still so many teams in the mix. Now, I do want to do a quick update before we move on from MLB. For the moment, get into the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final is this. The Colorado Rockies are 12-51. It is June 7th. They've won 12 games. Now, you think the White Sox are bad. The White Sox, they've won 21 games.
My God.
They're 21-43. Which is horrible. Don't get me wrong. The Rockies have won 12 games. And what's astonishing, they're playing better. They're 3-7 in their last 10.
They're on a heater, Steve. The closest
12
thing.
12 games. And I've heard this, and I don't know if it's true. I just heard this, that it's still kind of a draw in Denver because it's kind of a cool area, downtown Denver. It's a great ballpark, great views, that sort of thing. It's just a big party. And they're horrible.
They're horrible.
They're beyond horrible.
Any baseball game is fun when you got edibles along.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
That any day at the ballpark is a good day.
Some
at the
libations.
Ballpark. But just an update. June 7, they're 12-51.
Oh, my God.
So don't fret too much about the home nine here. They'll be fine.
Denver's being reclaimed. That's what's happening. They had too much sports success between the Nuggets and the Avalanche winning their respective championships. And then everything's just bottoming out. Because I don't feel good about the Colorado Avalanche going into the future, really. I certainly don't feel good about the Rockies. And then the Nuggets, I mean, they might just be a one-hit wonder like all these other teams that
but
it seems like a small market.
But they do have the title. And
yes.
Here's the thing. I think any Minnesota sports fan would trade it for a Timberwolves, Wild, Vikings, Twins championship, considering collectively what we've been through since 1991 when the Twins last won. Now, we've had the Lynx. Mm-hmm. And they had the four titles in what, 7 years.
Something like that. They could have had five.
It was like 4-7.
Well, they could have seven right now if you want to count that game in L.A. and then last season.
Right. And then Frost, the new
back-to-back
professional women's hockey, they've won two in a row, and now expansion's going to change that. I want to get your thought on that before we get into the NBA and the NHL. I was a bit surprised, and I understand you can only protect going into the expansion draft so many players.
Mm-hmm.
They've changed that. And I think the Vegas Golden Knights were kind of the, and the NHL changed it. If you're going to pay all that money to get into the league, you're going to get players. And the Vegas Golden Knights parlayed that into a team that has been competitive right out of the gate.
They fleeced everybody in that, including your Minnesota Wild, Steve.
Well, right. They got Marc-Andre Fleury. And you could argue Fleury was still, and don't get me wrong, he played some great games for the Wild, but he was at the end of his career. When the Golden Knights got Fleury, I mean, he was still a legit, really good top-flight NHL goaltender. So what I'm saying is that the Vegas and thing and the NHL, they kind of changed the rules where it's like, you're going to pay all that money and get into the league, you're going to get some good players from the other clubs. Mm-hmm. And it seems only fair, coughing up what they did. And it was a lot. Now, they're doing the same thing in PWHL. I'm a little surprised that, like, Rooney didn't get protected.
Yeah. There weren't a lot of goalies protected. You had the Ottawa netminder, who was named the playoff MVP. I think Boston protected one of their goalies, too. But the nothing against Matty Rooney, because she's a great person, great player, obviously an excellent goaltender. But there's reasons why this league has been really tough to score in. It's not because the players are bad. It's because the goalies are really good. And so I think there's a little bit of a thought, you know, if she does get taken, if somebody does get signed, as far as I know, I think it's Vancouver that signed Emerence Mashmeyer, who's one of the goaltenders for Ottawa. I haven't heard anything else about signings for the Seattle team. But there's a lot of talent at that particular position. While it would suck to lose Matty Rooney or Nicole Hensley for that matter, especially with being hometown products,
yep.
There is talent out there to supplement a loss.
Yeah, and Matty Rooney, I live up in the northern suburbs, big time hero in Andover,
mm-hmm.
and rightfully so. She's done a lot in her career, and I can't blame who the Frost protected, but it is interesting. And in this league in particular, they want to make sure, and they said this, that, you know, new clubs coming into the league, we want them to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is true, and that's why Vegas was a game changer in the NHL, and you were in Vegas for 5 years, is that if you're going to spend that kind of money, people aren't, in this day and age, aren't going to come out and support a team that, you know, it's just stuck in the cellar for years because, oh, you're an expansion team, mm-hmm. you got to pay your dues, and you're going to stink for all those years. They knew that wouldn't sell in Vegas.
No, and that was you can't recreate what happened there, because without them going to the Stanley Cup final in that first season, they're not in the position that they're in right now. They had such an amazing expansion draft, but then they've kind of spearheaded this win now. I will trade you for a bag of pucks and not shed one tear about it. They're very ruthless in the way that they run their team that has kind of taken advantage of the window that they created for themselves with the expansion draft, but then also with the pandemic, because they had probably the most malleable cap that out of anybody until they signed all these players to super long-term deals with no movement clauses. We've had that conversation about the NHL, but when it comes to the expansion draft with the PWHL, you talk about the cities in Seattle and Vancouver. Both of those communities turned out huge numbers when they took the PWHL on the road in markets that didn't home teams yet. And so a lot of people were very surprised to see Hillary Knight, the captain of the Boston Fleet, left unprotected. And I wasn't really that surprised, because she's at the tail end of her career. I know the next Olympics is going to be her last Olympics, but she's from Idaho. I can't think of anybody better for Seattle to have the opportunity to draft than somebody who grew up in their region and is able to capitalize on the own hockey bubble that Seattle has created for themselves. They didn't get the same sweet deal that the Vegas Golden Knights did in their expansion draft. People got smarter. But the game experience that they've created up there and that very unique culture, I think, is going to take right off in Vancouver. There's so much drama on that Canucks team. I think they're just looking for some team with traction. And I think that they're going to have that. They stole two of the defensemen for the PWHL Frost. Sophie Jacques was part of that. Huge player for the Frost. And so you're going to have a lot of big-time talented names from, you know, the big time national teams. When you talk about USA, Canada, we can talk Sweden, we can talk Finland too. But there's going to be big household names. And so I wouldn't expect any sort of hiccup. I would expect them to be competitive right away. And that's kind of the benefit of being a smaller league right now. Instead of going from 30 to 31 and then 32, you're going from 6 to 8.
Oh, the depth of talent.
Yeah,
is just
it's crazy.
Incredible.
That's why they're not scoring, Steve. The goalies are too good. They're too good
at
their job.
Yeah, and I just wanted to shout out, you know, to Matty Rooney. It's kind of like deserved to be protected. Hopefully she hangs around, because talk about someone who's done a lot of winning in her career. Mm-hmm. That's certainly Matty Rooney. And I know it was a bittersweet title when they won their second straight, where it's kind of like, yeah, some of these people aren't going to be around. And that's the nature of sport, whether it's high school, people graduate, college, people graduate, move on, or jump into the portal now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, expansion is certainly another factor in all of it. When we come back, Stanley Cup Final, two outstanding games already, series tied at 1, NBA Finals, Indiana shocked the world, no one gave them a chance, and Indiana had a lead late, one lead in the game, and it turned out to be the winner. And by the way, Twins fall today to the Blue Jays 5-4. They've dropped 3 in a row. Final game of the series tomorrow. Corzo at 10. Inside Twins at noon. First pitch at 1:10. Twins and Blue Jays at Target Field here on the home of the Twins. News Talk 830-WCCO. Lynx go tomorrow. They'll be in the Metroplex, taking on the Dallas Wings. Lynx perfect out of the gate this year, and WNBA Western Conference Player of the Month, Nafisa Collier, MVP. So how about that? They're off to an unbelievable start. Runners up in the WNBA, and they are making a statement, Lindsay, right out of the gate. That's the only way you can look at it. This is a statement to start the year.
And you love to see it, because I really don't think they're going to get much respect. Like, there's so many big-time storylines going on in the WNBA. I love that they can go about their business, dominate, and by the end of the season, we'll figure out exactly who runs this league. But just a great start in a league that is changing by a lot of different measures, including the guard. I think the Las Vegas Aces window is closed, Steve. I really do. They lost to the Golden State Valkyries earlier, speaking of expansion teams, and Kate Martin. And I don't care. There's a lot of great talented people there. And they have basically the whole Las Vegas Aces coaching staff now up in Golden State. Asia Wilson, what's going on, right? There's got to be more. Not necessarily from her, but you just expect more from a team that has such a talent on it.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of people that said, it's too much about Caitlin Clark and this and that. You know, all-time great college player comes into the WNBA. The one thing it does, and I said this, is just calm down, everybody. It's going to bring more eyeballs to the product, and people are going to find out how good the league is, how competitive it is, and how deep a talent pool there is. And once again, this is a smaller league, not as many teams.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of great players on these teams. So I didn't in any way, shape, or form. I thought it was rising tide lifts all boats. If she's the conduit to get people to the games and get eyeballs on televisions, I think it's going to pay dividends because it is a great league.
For sure, for sure. And we need as many talented people in as many markets as possible. When you look at where the standings are, of course, you have your Minnesota Lynx that are tied with an undefeated record with the New York Liberty, who are the defending champions. But then you have two teams that were really not part of the conversation at all last season within the Phoenix Mercury and the Atlanta Dream. Both of them are 3-4. Then the Aces, then the Storm. They're a little bit resurgent this year as well. And so you're seeing the league flip over. And I know that that's where you have different players moving to different squads, like Kelsey Plum, who's a big part of the Aces success. She's now a big-time leader for the Los Angeles Sparks and the young talent that they've been able to accumulate. So they're looking to make some waves, but they're only 3-6. And so I don't care. You let Caitlin Clark do her thing. I know she's not playing right now, but I keep doing the business, nose to the grindstone, keep grabbing those rebounds. We'll find out who's legit. Well, we got a couple of months.
And another opportunity for the Lynx to take on Paige Backers and the Dallas Club, and you know we're finding out how good the league is when someone like that was such a great player in the college game comes into the WNBA, and it's like welcome to the league, rookie, you know, and mm-hmm. Paige is a terrific player, but you know this is a very very good league, and the Lynx have dominated the Wings so far, and once again they will play tomorrow. Once again, matinee down in Arlington, Texas. NBA Finals, they spread these games out. We could go until the 4th of July, not quite. But Indiana shocked the world. Here's another situation. The Indiana Pacers, the Oklahoma City Thunders, and right at the end of the game, they steal game one. And Indiana's tough, and I remember when they had all their backups, I don't think they had one of their regular starters in a game later in the year against the Timberwolves at Target Center, and they got it done. And then they blew out the Timberwolves in Indianapolis even later in the season. And I felt like Indiana was a real deal. I didn't predict it or go to Vegas and lay any money down on them, but I am not surprised at all that they were able to emerge onto the Eastern Conference. I still think OKC is going to win the series, but Indiana winning game one, they are a good team and they play great together.
Absolutely. And there's something cooking there, not just with the Pacers, but with their partnership with the Fever. Like, they both show up at each other's games. I think they sometimes in those smaller markets, and I know that's a huge part of the dominating conversation around this final, but when you're able to kind of isolate and you only have, you know, so many things that you can do, but the main thing is to put everything towards that team and that goal of achieving a championship, I just think there's something. I still believe that Oklahoma City is going to be victorious in the end, but I think this is going to be a lot longer series, and that Tyrese Halliburton is putting respect on his name each and every game, because I know that a lot of people don't give that to him, but you can't deny it anymore. The clutch. You can't deny the clutch. Is he new clutch in the waning moments more than Dame Lillard is at this point? Because it's going to be a minute till we see Dame.
Well, and you just look the balance. They had a terrible first half, and we're still in the game, and then gradually reeled in OKC. And Timberwolves fans know how good they are and how well they play. But the simple fact, Pacers wouldn't go away. They came in, steal game one. And would I be shocked if they ultimately win the Larry O'Brien Trophy? I would not. I still think OKC is going to get it done. Stanley Cup Final rematch of a year ago. Florida won it in 7. They jumped out to a 3-0 lead. Oilers forced game 7, ultimately fall to Florida. This year it's 1-1. I'm pulling for the Oilers. It's been way too long for a Canadian team to hoist the cup. This is another series. Lindsay, we might get OT in every game in this series.
I'd love it. I'd love it. It's such great hockey that we're watching, too. It's not when you're in OT, obviously there's no blowouts or anything, but there's just hockey's a game of mistakes, and you have to commit to a different level of sacrifice and willingness to go to a different level. And you're seeing both of these teams familiar with each other, superstars. Everybody's bringing their best game. You got Sam Bennett mixing it up in front of that. People are pissed off about that, right? There's a million things going on, and you have two really good goaltenders. And so it has such a great stage, especially as this series moves to Florida. I'm curious to see how Edmonton plays down there and in that building, because there's a real advantage when they're playing up in Edmonton. I truly think that. But some advantages don't matter when you got Brad Marchand on your team. That guy, just there's an inevitability to him that's so annoying. So annoying.
Yeah, and, you know, Edmonton blessed years and years ago with Gretzky and Messier and Grant Fuhr, got to mention the goalie, and won all those cups. And then they were bad for a long time and just couldn't seemingly put it together. And I feel like if they're going to do it, right now is the time. And
yeah.
So far, great one. OT in game one, Oilers win it 4-3. Two OTs in game two. Florida wins at 5-4, and that series will resume on the 9th. By the way, NBA Finals resume tomorrow night in OKC with game two. So you're up to date on some of the big items. When we come back, we're going to try and reach Ron Cyrak, award-winning journalist, PGA Tour, LPGA Tour award-winning. He was at the U.S. Women's Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin, and we'll find out if he's going to be at the Men's Open at Oakmont in Pittsburgh this coming week. So we'll try and track down Ron. We'll see if that comes together. If not, it looks like we have a deal. Will we get some structure to college sports? We'll try and squeeze that in as well here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Twins fall to the Blue Jays 5-4. The Blue Jays are hot. They've won 9-10. They'll go for the series sweep of the Twins tomorrow. The Twins have dropped three in a row, and they're trying to salvage the final game of that three-game series on Sunday. We'll have Corzo beginning at 10 at high noon inside Twins. 12:30, the pregame show, the lineup card, and then at 1:10, first pitch between the Twins and the Blue Jays at Target Field. Kind of a tough luck loss. Twins had a lead, give up two in the eighth, one in the ninth, and that turns out to be the deal breaker. Toronto beats Minnesota 5-4. Well, college sports, incredible. This settlement that and the amount of money in college sports, and let's face it. Over the years in college sports, particularly in the big time, not so much in the non-revenue sports. We're talking football and men's basketball. As of late, women's basketball has become certainly a revenue sport at some schools, more and more schools around the country. Think about Tennessee back in the day with Pat Summitt in charge, UConn, Gino Auriemma, what's going on in South Carolina. This is a revenue sport now, women's hoops. Men's hockey at some schools, a revenue sport. And then you had name, image, and likeness. And you have the transfer portal, and there's a lot of chaos. And, Lindsay, this latest settlement, if you will, between the House and the NCAA, I don't know if it's going to create any more stability. There's definitely going to be revenue sharing, but I still think it's going to be the Wild West, and it's going to be chaos, and you're going to see student, and I use air quotes here, student athletes, particularly in football and men's basketball, and women's basketball to a certain extent, moving around for paydays. And it has very little to do with college.
Well, I don't know about you, Steve, but when money gets involved, I think people usually calm down. Right? I think people are pretty chill about it.
Yeah,
there's absolutely no drama surrounding all this. And the thing is that it's the right thing to do. Like, as apprehensive as I am about just pumping this thing full of money, it's the right thing to do because there's been people profiting off the backs of athletes' work and labor for decades. And so thankfully we're finally getting with the program. But not all solutions come without negative consequences. And at some point, they're going to have to put together a board. I don't know if it's going to be you get the Board of Regents, like you kind of take a similar approach that they do at colleges where everybody, like their AD is on it, like all these committees. I don't know if it's something that the government's going to run because they seem like they want to run everything else. I don't know if it's a privatization. That's where everybody seems to be moving that direction anyways, and maybe that would be better because I don't know if the current pieces of the puzzle that we have match the picture that is formulating in the future. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and here's the problem, and this is, I see, is the biggest problem. The NBA has relied on big time college men's basketball as their minor league feeder system for decades and decades. And they've been able to generally get that feeder system or development system for free. And The same thing is true with the NFL and college football. And if you think that college football in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s were on the up and up and everyone was playing by the rules, we know that's not true. And I totally agree with you that the money is now more out in the open. And the idea, well, you know, these kids get college scholarships and they get room and board.
Yeah. They get a degree. It's
okay.
They're not really that hot right now just for any regular Jill or Joe.
And the reality is a big-time college sports. And there are programs that do it the right way. People come in and they have balance and they're able to do the sport and they're able to walk out of there with the degree. But in a lot of situations, and maybe the thing I want to point to the most is a guy like Bobby Huggins. Once upon a time at Cincinnati and then at West Virginia, he almost wore like a badge of honor. Nobody graduates. Not what we're here for. You know, and he got toasted for those statements and that record for a long time. But a lot of people were saying, in reality, what we're doing here is pro sports.
Mm-hmm.
And when... And you hit the nail on the head right at the top. You know, when money gets involved, it is pro sports. Now, I still think about a lot of college sports at the Division I level, certainly Division II, Division III. The student athletes are there to go to school, earn a degree, and, oh, by the way, they play sports as well. And that's cool. But when you're talking about the money involved, the Big Ten now is a major part, football-wise and basketball-wise, of network programming.
Mm-hmm.
And the stars of network programming make big money. We see it on Sunday, and now you look at Saturdays. NBC has a feature Big Ten football game on Saturday night. I think the people participating in that should get in on that action. And how you sort that out and divide that money among kids, that are they supposed to have agents or representatives? It is amazingly complicated. And I invite you to read about this settlement. And as all as I can say, after reading a number of articles, and we can't get into all of it here on the radio, it's not possible. I think there's going to be more chaos, Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this changes anything about the portal. I don't think it changes anything about who's getting what. I think it's even in some way, shape, or form, with all that money out there, the boosters with those manila envelopes stuffed with $100 bills going under the table. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that changes in any of this.
No, and when we have this conversation, a lot of times we talk about the consequences from a money standpoint. What I'm more focused on is the consequences on the to the kids' standpoint, because I also work in hockey development, and it's I've said this for the last couple of years. There are so many adults whose livelihoods depend on the performance of children, mine being one of them, because we're supposed to produce these athletes who want to go get that money at that level, and they're willing to, you know, give up every weekend, every holiday. Nothing's sacred, Steve, and neither are the kids, really, because they become basically a product. They become an investment for their families, and some people, like, that investment and their ascension is going to change their families' lives. But everybody gets told that story. Everybody has that type of dream. And you know what? If you come from a better off family, there's that glory piece, right? There's that way to make I'm sure. still better than everybody else in some way, shape, or form. But what this does to the development system and what this does to our thinking about children, which it's not new that we put children to work. We only started making laws to take them out of the factories about less than 100 years ago. So I'm not surprised, but it's certainly a step in the direction of, I think, kind of further, you're taking away these people's childhood, Steve. That's what you're doing.
And so they're starting to distribute the money by order. There have been lawsuits and so on and so forth. But I still don't think it changes some of those things of, you know, I know you're going to school and playing a sport here, but if you come here, you can get this. And, oh, by the way, look at that big fat envelope under the table that we're going to hand. And that's been going on forever, and I don't know what changes that, because there is no mechanism, because the players in reality are independent contractors. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to keep a kid in a situation or at a school. He's not technically a professional. You know, are you going to have him sign contracts that you have to stay here, an 18-year-old kid? And you know, and how enforceable is all of that? That's what's crazy. So there's a settlement, but I don't think it does anything to stem the chaos we've seen. I don't see, with all these schools and all these athletes and all these boosters, that there's ever going to be any semblance of order in all of it. And maybe there shouldn't be. Twins get beat by the Blue Jays 5-4. We'll take a quick break. We will come back. Hopefully Steve Carney gives us a ring and we can go outdoors, get an update. Very unsettled week. How are they biting? We'll get into that here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. A couple of things I want to get into real quick. Trying to reach back with Steve Carney and Steve Carney Outdoors. We weren't able to touch base with Ron Cyrak, award-winning golf journalist. He did play golf earlier today. He's back home in Massachusetts after being at the U.S. Women's Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin. Not sure if he's going to Oakmont in the U.S. Open. The men's championship starts Thursday. But Ron did post this on social media. In his opinion, Oakmont is the toughest major championship venue that of all of them. And he's seen a lot of them over the years, that it is the toughest. Huge week for the Minnesota State High School League. Baseball state championships this week. Quarterfinals Wednesday and Thursday. 2A, 1A in St. Cloud, 3A at the Mini-Met in Jordan, and then CHS Field for the 4A. You've got boys and girls lacrosse this week, and they're going to be at Chaska and Eden Prairie Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Track and field up at St. Michael Albertville, a great event, and they do a phenomenal job up at St. Michael Albertville Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, for that state tournament, so a huge week. And tip of the cap to our state champions in softball. And first ever at the U at Jane Sage Cowles Stadium right there by the Athletes Village. And in 4A, Champlain Park beat Bloomington Jefferson 6-0. In the 3A title game, Recorey top Byron. In 2A, St. Cloud Cathedral beat Holly. And in the nightcap, the 1A title game, United South Central beat Badger, Greenbush, Middle River. And thank you, thank you, thank you to Caswell Park and North Mankato for hosting the quarterfinals and the semifinals with the championship games on Friday and state softball on Friday. And I think that's going to become a brand new tradition. Coco Gauff wins the French Open on the clay at Roland Garros. Congrats to her. And her team seemed thrilled, Lindsay. You see the video and the highlight and match point. Everybody's thrilled.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was even a ball that she had hit, I think, two or three shots before the winning ball sailed out by Sabalenka, where it was almost out. And I believe I saw on social media after the fact that Coco Gauff had basically written herself a note last, or maybe it was recently, maybe it was a couple months ago. I just had a dream that I won the French Open. I'm not sure if it's going to happen this year, but I'm just saying that it did happen. And so she did, like, she wrote out some like manifestations. I will win the French Open 2025. She cited Gabby Thomas being her inspiration for that. So manifestation worked for her today. So why not anybody else who has a goal in mind?
Yeah, man, that is a cool story. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we just got an email from the Lynx. No injuries to report for the game tomorrow in Arlington.
Excellent.
So Fee's good to go.
Excellent.
In that game. MV Fee. That is a million-dollar idea unless she's already got it locked up.
Somebody's got a trademark, right?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, another update on the weather real quick. 73 now, maybe a shower or thunderstorm in your neighborhood. Real mixed bag. Sunday looks pretty good with 73. Should be able to get the ball game in at Target Field. Then showers and thunderstorms again Sunday night and a rainy Monday. Big thanks to Lindsey Brown. Big thanks to you for tuning in. Have a great Saturday night here on CCO.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.